"Here they are now," says Lance as he sees the beer truck pull up to the loading dock and squeak to a halt. Todd retreats across the club to the computer displays near the main door. From there, he watches the security cam views of the loading dock. Lance will handle the delivery. Jim jumps out of the truck and hits the buzzer on the door while Ed unlocks the back of the truck. Lance slides open the door as Jim says, "Hey, man, we're from Arrowhead. We got 12 kegs for you guys, right?"
"Right. Is Billy still in Florida?"
"Yeah, lucky dog. Sure beats this fucking weather.
Where do you want him?"
Lance slides the door all the way open and gestures to where the incoming kegs go and says, "There's the empties over there," pointing to a group of 10 kegs on the other side of the room.
"You got it," says Jim as he heads back to help Ed move the first of the RDX kegs.
Lance watches as the first, then the second, then the third of the red dotted kegs are neatly arranged in a triangle with a slot in the middle where he knows the fuse will go. He heads back into the bar but watches on the closed circuit TV as the rest of the kegs are delivered and placed so that the RDX kegs are furthest away. Then he spots Jim slip the detonator out from his heavy coat and place it in the opening. When all the kegs have been loaded, Lance goes back to the dock and says, "All done?" Jim with the clipboard says, "Yeah, I think that's about it. I just need a signature here and we'll be on our way." Lance says, "Don't lock up just yet. Come on inside for a minute. I need to make a quick check of the computer inventory. I think I might need an extra keg or two." They enter Mulroon and Lance goes behind the bar to a terminal. He looks down the bar and says to one of the bartenders, "Give these guys what they want. Take a seat, guys. I'll be just a minute." Jim and Ed take off their coats and put them on an empty stool as they sit next to one another. Outside in the storage area, Chris and Tony begin shifting the kegs back onto the truck in place of three of the empties. Lance finally says, "Looks okay, guys. I think we can get by on what we've got," as he takes the clipboard and signs the invoice, ticking one copy for himself. Ed and Jim quickly finish their drinks and stub out their cigarettes. Jim takes the clipboard, pretends to look at the signature, and says, "Thanks, see you next week," as they put their coat back on and head out through the loading dock door. Jim steals a quick glance at the RDX kegs with the red dots visible and sees that they are just as he left them. Ed locks the back doors of the truck, then joins him in the cab. The motor chugs to life and the truck lurches away. Jim says, "Well, that was easy." "Well, what'd you expect, unless they actually put a tap into one of those kegs? There ain't no way anyone could know." The truck turns towards the warehouse where Mark has brought their car. When Ed and Jim get to the warehouse, Mark and Sid are waiting for them. "Everything go okay?" Mark asks. "No problemo. We got the kegs delivered. Place the detonator. Bunch of dumbasses. No one suspected a thing," says Jim as he tosses the keys of the truck to Mark, including the key to the padlock on the rear door. "Good. Here's your keys. You guys better get going," says Mark. Jim says, "Yeah, we want to get into a motel in time to see the news bulletins. You think it'll make the news?" "Oh, yeah, it'll make the news. Big time. That's going to be one fucking big blast," says Mark. "Well, then, see ya. We don't want to miss it," says Ed as he and Jim leave the warehouse and jog across the street to their car. Mark watches for a moment from the side door. Ed and Jim head for the I-80 westbound on-ramp bound for Salt Lake. Mark shuts and bolts the side door while Sid checks on Sean tied in the back of the van. Then they go to Joe's office. As they enter, Joe says, "Everything go okay?" "Everything's fine. We got the truck. The kegs have been delivered. The driver's safely tied up in the back of the van. All we need to do now is wait until after the blast. Driver secure?" "Very. He'll be no problem," says Sid. "Good. I'm heading home. I'll meet you both back here at 9:30, then we'll watch the show," says Joe as he gets up, puts out his cigarette, and reaches for his coat. "Okay. See you then," says Mark as he and Sid walk out the door and down the hallway with Joe. "I'll be glad when this business is over," says Joe. "Ditto, man. But it won't be long now," says Mark. They both leave the warehouse, walk to their cars across the street, and drive off. Joe goes home. Mark and Sid go to the motel and wait. As Ed and Jim's car pulls onto I-80, Jim guns the motor and says, "We need to get to a motel before 10 o'clock so we can watch the blast coverage." "Yeah, man. We'll be famous. Too bad no one will know it was us." "Oh, word'll get around, man. This'll be the biggest fucking blast in history. All ours." "Right on. This is our ticket, dude. We'll really be in demand. No more small-time hits. We're in the big time now. This is our big night. I sure don't want to miss it," says Ed as the car gets up to highway speed, heading west towards the low winter sun. "You are so right, Ed. This is our big night. We'll never forget this night, that's for sure." Lance and Tony arrive at David's garage in Lance's SUV. They wait while the motorized door opens, then Lance pulls in and parks. Tony puts on his ski mask and walks over to the small office where Tom, Bob, and the driver are sitting around eating potato chips and watching TV. "Looks like you got kidnapped by a potato chip company," laughs Tony, looking at the driver. Then, turning to Tom, he says, "I take it there's not been any trouble?" "Hell no. We've just been watching TV and eating, mostly," says Tom. Tom leans over and grabs a handful of chips, then says, "I'll take over for you. Your ride's waiting." Tom says, "Okay, catch you guys later." Tom heads out and over to Lance's SUV, gets in, and they drive off. The driver looks up at Tony and asks, "How long are you going to keep me?" Tony says, "Until about 10 o'clock tonight, I guess. Then we'll drop you off and you can call your wife to come get you." "Yeah, but what's this all about, really?" "Probably better you don't know too much," says Bob. "Oh, right. Okay," says the driver. "Where do you live?" "Council Bluffs." "We'll drop you over there. When you get home, you can call the cops and tell them what you know. Either way, you do know your truck was hijacked. Yeah, I kind of figured that part out on my own. When you talk to the cops, leave out the part about the coffee, chips, and cigarettes. Just say you were held blindfolded and tied up in a storage room of some kind and that you know nothing, okay? Works for me. I don't fucking know anything anyway. Good, let's keep it that way. Time, 3 p.m. Lance and Tom drive to Joe's warehouse. From a block away, Lance calls Todd, who's been monitoring the audio from Joe's warehouse. Hey, Todd, what do you got? Place is empty. It's all yours. They won't be back until 9:30. Good. Catch you later. Lance pulls up next to the side door, and Tom hops out, takes out his keys, and opens the door. He hurries over to the van and cuts Sean free. Let's go. Lance is waiting outside, says Tom. Tom relocks the side door and hops in the SUV with Sean. They return to the club. Time, 5 p.m. Late Friday afternoon, driving across the frozen prairie, Ed says, let's get something to eat. I saw a sign for a truck stop just outside Grand Island. A few minutes later, they pull off the interstate into a vast truck stop. The lots are filled with trucks, hundreds of them, all parked in parallel facing the exit ramps. About 30 huge diesel pumps are arrayed one next to another under a massive garishly colored steel canopy. They park their car and walk to the large central building. Within its confines are the usual gift shops, convenience store, banking and electronic kiosks, showers, groceries, snack bar, and restaurant. Ed and Jim opt for a restaurant populated by the usual fat middle-aged guys in boots with too many tattoos and scraggly beards. They get a table. Jim orders some fried chicken with french fries, coleslaw, a small salad, and a beer. Ed gets a well-done steak with fries and a salad, and ditto on the beer. They receive the customary, you got it, honey, from a nice but disinterested middle-aged housefrau of the prairies. They lounge back on their chairs, the smoke from their cigarettes rising in curling tendrils, musing what will happen later that night. Jim leans forward and laughs, kaboom, making a gesture to imitate an exploding cloud. Ed laughs and likewise leans forward and says, and then no more club, dude. The order arrives on several plates. They each ask for another beer. Ed says, I wonder how much TV coverage we'll get. We really need to be in the motel by 10 o'clock, Jim. I don't want to miss the news break-ins on the networks. Right, dude. We'll be there. It's not that far now. You won't miss your special bulletin moment, replies Jim. As they eat their supper, across the room, one trucker says emphatically to another, it's them. I know it. Damn it. I was there. I saw what happened at the truck stop north of Kansas City. You really sure, Merle? Says the other. Yep. Wait, there's my partner. He saw them, too. As he waves to another driver coming out of the men's room across the diner. The other driver crosses the room and says, what's up, Tony? See those two eating at that table over there? Yeah, I see them. Holy shit, I know them. They were the ones down on I-29 who shot up all those trucks, aren't they? That was my feeling as well, says Tony, as he turns to the third trucker and says, well, it's them. The third says, come with me. We need to talk to a few people, as they head to the other side of the diner, tapping a few drivers and beckoning them to come along. The drivers, about 10 of them, talk intently, nodding to themselves and periodically looking in the direction of Jim and Ed, who are oblivious to the attention being lavished on them. The group finally agrees on a plan, nods all around. They separate and watch Ed and Jim drinking coffee until they see them getting up ready to leave. All the conspirators head to their waiting trucks, idling in the cold outside. In that part of the world in winter, you don't want to try to start a diesel engine at 20 degrees below zero. One by one, they shift the gears and hit the pedals, causing columns of black soot to shoot skyward. The sound of the rumbling, idling diesels is broken by multiple sharp blasts of releasing air brakes. Many big rigs start rolling toward the exit ramp. All CBs now switch to channel 38. The first six trucks pull out onto the highway and start gaining speed, while one waits back at the parking area to watch for Jim and Ed to leave the diner. Another positions himself just to the side of the ramp leading onto the interstate. When the lookout sees Ed and Jim get in their car, he clicks his CB mic and says, they're on their way. The truck waiting at the side of the ramp begins to roll slowly onto the ramp. The lookout also begins to move. Ed and Jim pull onto the ramp, but they're delayed behind the big rig that was waiting for them. It slowly accelerates with both stacks blowing smoke. The driver's CB is also blowing smoke as he calls ahead to the trucks already on the road. When the ramp finally merges with the highway, Ed impatiently pulls around the truck that's been blocking them. But the delay has given other trucks already enough time to get up to highway speed. This time they won't make any mistakes. Jim and Ed aren't interested in attracting attention, so they cruise along at the legal speed of 70 miles an hour. The lookout truck and the ramp truck are both deadheading home, thus empty and faster. They soon catch up with Ed and Jim. They follow a few hundred yards behind, relaying the mile marker locations to their friends further ahead. Ed and Jim catch up. The caravan of trucks now paces their prey. This odd caravan rolls across the western Nebraskan night for about an hour. Just east of North Platte, the beers Ed and Jim drank earlier find their way to their bladders, and Jim says, hey, how about a rest stop ahead? Their SUV pulls into a deserted rest stop. There they go, flashes from one CB aerial to another. Ed parks the SUV. They hop out and enter the small deserted building.